19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
I'm aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America.
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America.
The so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Blood it.
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
Welcome to the Strange Harbors podcast, a weekly discussion of film, television, and pop culture. My name is Jeff Zhang, and tonight I'm joined by...
Amir Ture.
And Eric Wong.
So this week we are talking about Alex Garland's new film, Civil War, a movie that attempts to sidestep politics to tell a story about wartime journalists. Garland's latest is another stab at ambitious, speculative fiction. The film stars Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, Kelly Spaney, Stephen McKinley Henderson, and Nick Offerman. And believe it or not, this is the third time we've covered Alex Garland on the pod, the first being his television miniseries Devs, and the second being his horror movie Men from 2022. I believe he's also made an appearance on our Best Films of the Decade list. I think some of us had Ex Machina on there.
I think so.
I feel like we've done this before, but what are your... thoughts on Alex Garland as a filmmaker?
You know, I like Ex Machina quite a lot. I liked Devs. Men was all right. So, you know, he's got a strong but mixed catalog. What about you guys?
The first thing I've seen him do, right, was Ex Machina. I thought it was a very strong start as a writer and director. It's gotten a little bit of diminishing returns as time has gone by. I mean, I'm probably the most favorable of Men, and I still like it, but I definitely see its flaws. Devs, definitely liked it. Annihilation, I wasn't on the same vibe. So I like his work. I do really like Alex Garland, but maybe a little bit of diminishing returns.
Let's not forget he shadow directed Dredd too, and he wrote
it. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Really? Oh, shit. Yeah. That's a definite feather in his cap. Dredd is awesome.
There's been a lot of hate for Alex Garland lately. And I think a lot of it just stems from Men, which is too bad. I mean, I hated Men, but his track record's pretty good. I really like Dredd. I really like Ex Machina. I love Annihilation. We really liked Devs, too. Men is really his only misstep, right?
Yeah.
I mean, present movie that we're going to discuss excluded. We won't say quite yet what we thought about that. But really, until Civil War, Men was probably the only one that I really actually disliked. And it seems a little unfair to dump so much hate on him.
Yeah. That's also not giving him any credit for the writing, too, because he did have writing credits in 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later, which I think people like as well.
That's true. That's right, right. Forgot those writing credits. I mean, he started as a writer and a novelist, right? So, Civil War. When did you guys see this?
I actually just saw this yesterday afternoon. What about you guys?
I saw it on Monday night. So just a couple days ago.
I saw this almost a year ago.
Holy crap, really?
I saw this at a secret screening. I got an invitation to a secret screening. It didn't say what it was. And the version I saw last June, I believe, didn't have effects works finished. So I saw the early version of this and was sworn to secrecy for almost a year until its premiere at South by Southwest, where I saw the completed version of the movie. I've never actually been invited to something like that before. It was pretty wild.
That's cool.
Very, super cool, very hush-hush. Yeah.
Can I ask, how did that come about? Like, how did you even...
One of my critic friends had an invite. So I went with them, not knowing anything, what it was going to be, where it was going to be. It was very secretive. And it was pretty much, I think, to gauge where people fell on the movie, because they had like a little questionnaire and everything. You had to sign a little thing not to disclose the screening or your opinion about the movie or even what you saw, right? So it was quite interesting. And to see it in an unfinished state, it was kind of weird. But I finally got to see the full version in Texas at its premiere last month. So
very cool. Oh, well, how was your experience though, Amir? At your theater?
You know, it was a afternoon showing on a Tuesday, so you can't expect too many people.
Mm-hmm.
But there actually were more people in the theater than for a couple of movies we've done recently. So more people than like Monkey Man, for example.
I had the same experience. I mean, on Monday night, it was past the opening weekend, but I still had a decent sized theater. But it was very vocal theater. You know, a lot of reactions in the moments, gasping or people kind of murmuring quietly about what they just saw. So it definitely had people's attention.
What about you, Jeff? What were the two experiences like?
The secret screening was a little more subdued. There weren't that many people there. And I think just from the nature of the screening, the audience wasn't very vocal. But the South by Southwest one was quite rowdy. I mean, full house. Alice Garland was there, a bunch of the actors. A lot of loud reactions. I mean, this is a very loud movie too, right? So I think people were on the edge of their seats. And the reaction was very, very positive out of South by Southwest. Everybody seemed to love the movie.
And it's done quite well overall, right? I think the critical reception has been pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It's like an 80-something on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that last time I checked.
Yeah. 82 on Rotten Tomatoes, 76 audience score. So I think a little more divisive on the audience side, which is a little surprising. Maybe not. You never know how those things are going to go, right? But yeah, so what did you guys think of the movie?
I thought it was just okay. I wasn't blown away by it, but I didn't hate it. It's probably better than Men, but worse than any of his other stuff. What do you guys think?
So I think, yeah, as you've kind of like looked at his career and the movies he's been kind of given to helm, I mean, I think they've gotten bigger and bigger. I mean, Man is a pretty small movie, but going from like something like Ex Machina to Annihilation to this now, budget-wise and just scope-wise, this is more than he's had to handle in any of his movies. And I think craft-wise, this might be his best movie in terms of sound design, the set pieces, tackling action in this movie. I thought all of that worked really well, but ultimately, I don't think I love this movie either. I think that it's very thin on characters. It's very thin on plot. It's kind of these vignettes that kind of move you from, you know, set piece to set piece or from scene to scene. And individually, I think some of those are pretty good. Some of those are really entertaining. Some of them are very well crafted. But I found myself at the end of this movie not really getting much from it. It's very, very thin. It's very, very empty. Ultimately, yeah, I don't quite love it. And it's hard for me to say that because I do like Alex Garland.
I think I totally agree with your sentiment about thin and empty. That totally sums up what I'm thinking too. What do you think, Jeff?
I will be the least charitable. This movie sucks.
All right. Can you expand on that a little bit?
I just don't know what happened with Alex Garland, you know? Ex Machina and Annihilation gave us takes on femininity, gender, technology, our coded self-destruction. I wouldn't say that they're subtle movies, but there was an elegance to them that made them, like, some of my favorite movies of the last decade. And My problem with this one, which is kind of in the same vein as Men, is that it's all sound and fury and it doesn't have anything to say. And any which way you take it, I think it's just a big, giant nothing burger. There are a bunch of articles floating around asking if this is the quote-unquote responsible movie to make during an election year, you know, being focused on a fictional civil war in America, and that maybe it's even a dangerous movie to make, but for that to be even remotely true, it's got to have something to say, which I feel like this movie doesn't. And it seems to be very, very confused about what it's not trying to say. And I do agree that craft-wise, this is a very well-made movie. And, you know, A24 put a lot of effort into this production as like the first foray into mega budget, I guess, crowd pleasers. I think that's what they're trying to break into with this. This is their biggest movie ever. They got Alex Garland, this all-star cast, but I just kind of resisted this movie throughout the entire thing. I just didn't feel anything for the characters. Part of it is because Alex Garland was trying to make something, I don't want to say apolitical, but at least centrist, right? And I think that's a big problem when you're doing a fictionalized Civil War movie taking place in America. And especially about journalism, right? So I just did not find this very, very good.
I think he could have gotten away with the political emptiness and even the plot and character emptiness of this movie if just like every single vignette was super arresting and just stop your heart, shocking or beautiful, just visually stand out. And I don't think it was. I mean, I know you guys are saying it's like very technically impressive, but I don't know. A lot of it left me cold, right?
Cold, yeah.
You have a lot of these shots, and then because it's all war photojournalists, you have them taking their shots and seeing them doing their thing, and none of it's that cool. I don't know. It's just none of it's really that cool. All this emphasis on like seeing and watching and filming, and none of it even visually seems that cool. I think it just doesn't work even on that level. And I think you could contrast the parts that worked for me with the parts that didn't. I think there's like a clear gap. Do you guys want to do like a quick synopsis before we dive into the guts of this thing?
Plot-wise, there's not that much, right? We're kind of thrusted into this scenario where America is in a civil war. There's different factions throughout America. We learn about the Pacific Northwest. We learn about this coalition between California and Texas. We learn about the WF, which is Florida. It feels like they've been at this for years. I don't know if you guys caught it, but like how long this has been going on. But, you know, Nick Offerman plays the president, who's like this kind of Trump stand-in that basically is in his third term. And we're at the end of this revolution where the people have banded together to raid and try to kill the president, played by Nick Offerman. And it's this journey, right? These photojournalists band together and try to get to Washington to get an interview and get pictures of the president before his ultimate assassination. That's the crux of this movie, right? The team leader being the Kristen Dunst character, and then Wagner Moura's Joel, Kaylee Spaney's Jesse, and then Stephen McKinley Henderson's Sammy. So a lot of the movie is this road trip movie. And then it culminates into this heavy action raid at the end.
I will say that the actors are innocent in this. I think they all do a very, very good job. I think Kirsten Dunst is doing really good work. And, you know, we've been a big fan of Kaylee Spaney on this pod for a long time. We loved Priscilla. We loved her on Devs. She's fantastic. And Wagner Moura is great in this, too. I think a lot of the acting and the technical aspects, I know, Amir, some of the spectacle left you cold, but at least I think they're very, very sound. I don't think you can nitpick too much on those aspects. What'd you guys think of the performances?
The performances are good, but as Derek was saying, it's empty. There's not that much for them to do.
Absolutely.
That's a script issue.
It's
right?
a script
yeah,
issue.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Actor's innocent, but just compare what Kaylee Spaney was doing in Priscilla to the absolute fucking nothing she's doing in this. She's doing nothing here. Nothing. Yeah, there's not much. Or, again, compare to the most recent movie we've talked about her in, compare Kirsten Dunst's character in Power of the Dog to this just like flat faced jaded PTSD reporter things that she's got going here. It's a nothing.
Yeah.
None of the emotional moments hit as hard as that one, I don't know, piano scene from Power of the Dog, right?
Yeah.
Just that alone. The actors are all great, but they're just given not a fucking thing to do. Probably the only person who gets out unscathed is Jesse Plemons, just because that scene is so short and so fucking good.
Yeah,
that's absolutely
like
the
he's
highlight.
He's given something to chew on, and then he's out of the movie. You're like, all right, cool. That was fucking awesome.
People are calling him Kirsten Dunst's Nepo baby, because that's how he got cast in the movie. The original actor they got for that scene dropped out, so Kirsten Dunst's like, okay, why don't I get my husband to do it?
That's awesome.
It's not a knock to call him a Nepo baby, it's just a joke, right? Because Jesse Plemons is always maybe the best thing about the movie that he's in. He's so fucking good.
Yeah, and love that guy.
To turn that small scene into maybe the best scene of the movie, really.
Absolutely.
That thing was so intense.
It is. There's no question for me. That's definitely the best scene in the movie.
Even if what that scene is trying to do is dumb as shit, I got the visceral aspect of that scene.
Like you said, Jeff, there's a tension to that. It's a very, very tense scene, and it's really well done. The way he plays the character, the way he interrogates the cast. What kind of American are you?
Oh, so stupid. Sorry.
No, and I don't disagree with you, right? Like, I don't quite understand what he's trying to say with this scene, but the way it's acted is still something to be impressed by. I mean, Jesse Plemons is terrifying. You really just kind of focus in on him, and he just steals that, you know, whatever 5-10 minute scene that he shows up in this movie. So my favorite scene also of this movie.
Absolutely. So speaking of actors innocent too, we should mention this is a fucking Devs reunion, right?
Yeah.
So Sonoya Mizuno has a little cameo in this as one of the other journalists. Nick Offerman's obviously the president.
Kaylee Spaney,
Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Yeah.
Even Carl Glusman is in this.
Yeah,
Ha is in this. It really is just the Devs cast. Copy fucking paste. Which is cool. I do like it when directors just have like a ton of recurring collaborators. I think that's fucking cool. So props to him for bringing back some really cool collaborators and also adding tons of star power to the film with Kirsten Dunst and her husband. Her Nepo baby husband.
Nepo baby husband.
Yeah, I think it's neat. This clearly worked before. Let's just use the same people. I like that. I read a lot of rebuttals to criticisms of this movie, and a lot of people love this movie. They fucking love it. They think it's so of the times or whatever, but I just can't buy any of it, really. So I want to take a look at what Garland said about this movie at face value, right? So for him, this is like a love letter valorizing journalists and their neutrality to document horrible things, I guess. So like in his own words, he says, "The film is presenting old-fashioned reporters as opposed to extremely biased journalists who are essentially producing propaganda. They're old-fashioned reporters. The film tries itself to function like those reporters." I think that disregards one of the very basic tenets of both art and journalism. There's no such thing as a neutral camera, right? It doesn't fucking exist. And this movie doesn't really get that. Like, the very act of taking a picture informs, like, ideology, context, bias, and the movie does not want to interrogate any of that. I think it's such a missed opportunity because it plays with some things that are almost interesting, but it never really gets there. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
I think you can get away with the quote-unquote neutral camera if you are doing a man's inhumanity to man sort of thing for like the whole movie, and the sides are just blended together because war makes monsters out of all of us. And if that's what you're doing, then I think you can get away with it. And I don't think that's what he did. I think he touched on that in the two scenes that were good, which is the Jesse Plemons scene we talked about and the sniper scene right before it.
Yeah,
like
those are the two highlights.
He was getting there, right?
The sniper scene's good and the Jesse Plemons thing is good. I do agree with
and
that.
And he was getting there. And you were like, okay, the politics don't matter because it's a fucking civil war. And in a civil war, everyone becomes a fucking monster. People are just ratting out their neighbors. People are getting tortured. Fucking guerrilla armies. It's nasty, brutal, awful fucking shit. And if you were going to look at that realistically, it does make some sense to say, hey, maybe the ideology doesn't matter, the sides don't matter, because we're all fucked up in this shit, right? Once you go to war, it fucks everybody up. And I think that he's almost there with it, but it's only in those two scenes that he touches onto that, I don't know, that nerve that I think would have made the whole thing come alive or get away with the lack of a stance.
I think it's a brutal mistake to make this take place in a fictionalized America and use politically charged imagery that's so close to real life and word salad buzzwords that don't fucking mean anything. If you're trying to truly stay like apolitical or not really have a stance and stay neutral or stay centrist at least, right? But to use those things.
Yeah, like the goofy political phrasing knocks you out of the movie, right? Like
it
the
totally
massacre
does.
And the like, you know, whatever, all that shit. That shit's goofy, right? Like, if you're gonna not do that, then just don't do it at all. I agree with you.
Yeah. If you're throwing around shit like the Antifa massacre and Portland Maoists, or like having characters ask other characters, what kind of Americans they are, you better have something to say about that rather than just sweep it on the rug and be like, oh, war is bad and sometimes we take pictures of it, you know? Like, I feel like that's really the final takeaway of the movie, which is kind of
I sort of liked the what kind of American you are thing because it is such an effective, tense, horrifying scene where, like, they're being victimized and they're trying desperately to get into the head of this inscrutable oppressor and figure out, like, what is the answer that he wants to hear? And that answer might not make sense because this guy is just, like, an idiotic, sadistic bigot, right? Mm-hmm. There isn't anything to make sense of. And I actually really liked that. You know, like, what the fuck is the commonality here? What is he looking for? What is the answer? And trying desperately to figure that out. And it's like, there is no answer. This guy's just fucked up, right? So I did kind of like that. I think it works on that level. But I get what you're saying about there being no juice to it.
I'm kind of two minds. Part of his mistake is that he's setting this movie in this kind of atmosphere or this kind of environment that is similar to ours, a little bit more of an extreme. But I think that setting it in war is maybe the wrong choice because it kind of has people asking, like, what are you trying to say? Like, you know, war, politics, religion, they're all very sensitive subjects that I think hit a nerve. But then I'm also of a mind that I kind of was on the vibe of this movie when it comes to talking about your craft. Because essentially, like, the three leads, right? Kristen Dunst is Lee, Wagner Moore is Joel, and Kaylee Spaney, Jesse, are all different versions of the same person, right? Like, Kristen Dunst being this seasoned war journalist, Kaylee Spaney being this up-and-comer trying to learn, and then Wagner Moore being the side that is looking for the fame, looking for the moment. They all represent different aspects of journalism and media. And that is kind of interesting, the way their characters evolve throughout this and or don't evolve. Specifically, I think the Wagner Moore character. But I ultimately think it's very thin where, like, I mean, not to get too far to the end of this movie, I think where they end up as characters doesn't quite make sense to me by the end of this. And it doesn't all seem to align. It all doesn't seem to work. And I think that's what kind of makes it fail for me, ultimately. I care less about the politics of it all. Just because it's called Civil War, I don't necessarily need the movie to be completely political. I think he was trying to use it as a backdrop, but I think that maybe was the wrong choice.
Yeah, I think it's massively stupid, but I don't think my central issue with the movie is the politics, right? So I think I agree with you, Derek, about the characters. The characters are a big problem here. I think every time Alex Garland opens his mouth about this movie, it makes the movie worse. Because anything interesting that the movie does, every time he says something about it, it makes it seem like it's unintentional, right? All right, let's just be generous and, like, ascribe death of the author here, where, you know, we take Alex Garland out of the equation and what his intent was, right? And people are saying that, you know, maybe the movie really is about how true objectivity is impossible, right? And the chase of, like, spectacle and neutral documentation has the price of a person's soul, which is what you were saying, Amir, right? War and its effects and these people trying to document it, right? And, you know, like, Lee clearly states at one point that she would photograph Jesse's death without any compunction. But later, she deletes, you know, spoiler, Sammy's corpse from her camera, right?
Right, yeah.
Which I think is interesting there. But okay, then, so what made her character do that? What about the conflict made her do that? What do the characters believe in? How does the wartime landscape around them inform them of their eventual biases and, like, how they take pictures? Nobody in this fucking movie knows or cares. Our photojournalists, they're not interested in the cause of what's going on around them. They're only interested in the effect, right? And that's a problem when your movie is so using politically charged imagery while trying to stay neutral. You know what I mean? It just doesn't track. It doesn't land for me.
I agree 100% that, like, I kind of kept asking myself, why? Why should I care that Kristen Dunst's character changes by the end of this? Like, why should I care that Kaylee Spaney's character is changing? Like I said, so very thinly written. There's not much development in these characters that it makes me really pull back and, like, separate from my interest in the characters.
Outside of those two standout scenes, it's kind of boring. because you don't have any attachment to the characters, as Derek is saying. It's kind of a boring movie outside of those two scenes, which ratchet up the tension, and suddenly you're worried about the welfare and the lives of these people. Or actually the scene where they're hopping from car to car, where they're having some fun and acting like human beings. That's really cool, too. Mm-hmm. But those are basically only scenes where you care about the characters. And so, of course, they're the height of the movie, right? I agree with you, Derek. You don't really care about these characters, and the rest of the movie is a bit boring because you don't care. I think the other thing it's trying to do, and it does unsuccessfully, is put the shoe on the other foot as far as reversing the role of U.S. war reporters in foreign countries. And now it's like, oh, this is like what it would be if war reporters were to report on a conflict in the U.S. like that. Like, this is what it would be like.
Yeah, so a bunch of people are saying that. Oh, this is like, you know, how Hollywood always makes war movies about other countries and how thin those movies are politically. And this is, you know, like you said, the shoe's on the other foot. A British guy is making a war movie about the United States where the politics are equally nonsensical. But those movies are bad. They're not good, right? I feel like just because you're doing the inverse doesn't mean you're suddenly doing something good.
Mm. And I think it's thinner even than those, because I think usually those at least have some propaganda point to push, right? Like, those movies usually are pushing, like, even just like a very basic Milosevic is bad or something. I don't know, whatever genocide you're picking or whatever, like, movie or whatever war it is, there is some push to this where this has not even that. Like, yes. I don't even know which side is the U.S. propaganda side in this, because there's no politics to it at all.
I mean, it's like intentional waffling. It's even worse that it's intentional that he doesn't want to say anything and he wants to focus on the journalists instead. You know, it just doesn't work for me at all. Like, this shit might as well take a place on the moon. Like, who fucking cares?
That's kind of what I was saying, though, right?
Like, yeah.
There's only a couple of things that rooted into being, like, in the U.S. where you're like, ooh, the U.S. flag suicide bomber.
Mm-hmm. In New York in the beginning.
That's a provocative image and a provocative inversion where you're like, oh, someone sees the American flag and she goes, oh, shit, right? And it's like, oh, people are reacting to that the way people in our world react to, like, jihadis or whatever. Like, that's a cool inversion where instead of being scared of, you know, American drones and American bombers, they're scared of American suicide bombers. I was like, all right, I kind of like that. And then they do the thing where they're going to go buy gas and they got to buy it with Canadian money or whatever because American money is worthless because of the war. Like, mm-hmm. That's a little bit of cliche, but at least it's some kind of rooted specificity in the world. You know something about this future dystopia. But you're right. The rest of it, I might as well be on the moon. I guess maybe some of the shots of the Capitol in the end, right?
Yeah.
Are, like, rooted in the specific place of Washington, D.C. And seeing the president get ventilated like he was fucking Osama bin Laden or something is a pretty good inversion, too. That actually is pretty powerful, too. But most of it is sort of unmoored.
And I think I speak for all of us when I say we don't need our politics regurgitated back into our face, but I just want the movie to take a stand on something. Nick Offerman's clearly like a Trump stand-in, which is fine. He wears a red tie or whatever.
He didn't even seem that Trumpy to me. He seems even more generic than that. I don't know. Maybe
he's clearly a fascist. He's taken a third term. Whatever.
Yeah, so did FDR.
The movie needs to take a stand on something, like, okay, make him a blue tie wearing Biden stand-in who forgave too many student loans or some shit. Even that would be better than this, right? Like, say fucking something. I don't give a shit what, right? By putting these journalists on a pedestal, the movie's just completely hollow. What if this movie was about photographers super horny for the Gaddafi money shot, right? Like, of a dead president? Like, lean into that. And I want to compare this movie to, like, something like Nope, which is also about getting the shot.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, like, it's clear from the beginning that movie, we love those characters in that movie, but it's clear the entire way through that they're in it for the money, they're in it for the fame, and they're opportunists, right? And someone just said this movie's just narcissistic careerism for these journalists. And that's not what journalists are supposed to be. You're not supposed to just document and get the shot. You're supposed to have a perspective, right? And I think this movie just completely fails on that part. And it ends up, like we said this entire episode, it doesn't say anything.
Well, and I think that's for me why the Wagner Mora's Joel may be the most fascinating out of the trio, just because I understand him. He is the guy who's chasing, right? He's chasing the adrenaline, he's chasing the shot, he's chasing the interview. And by the end of it, he gets it. He gets to meet his goal. You know, he doesn't really change through this movie. I understand his character. versus, you know, the Kristen Dunst, Kaylee Spaney, like, I have issues with both those characters, very specifically the Kaylee Spaney one. But I can't really talk about that until we get into, like, the end. So do you guys want to do that? Or is there any other scenes you want to talk to before we get to the very end? I mean, did you guys like that warehouse raid?
It was okay.
Not really. Not really.
This movie plays the same trick a bunch of times where it's, like, two people talking and it's just interrupted by crazy loud gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
It's this movie's repeated jump scare. And the gunfire is loud. It works maybe, like, the first two times. But then you're like, all right. This is like a crutch now, you know? For a movie so serious, I think the soundtrack is terrible too. Like the ironic needle drops is just very incongruous with the rest of the movie. And a lot of that shit took me out.
And like war footage wise, it's just not that harrowing. Some of it's pretty fucked, but it doesn't all hit the way it should overall. Yeah, we can go to the end, Derek.
Yeah, we can go to the end.
The end of this movie, basically, our trio by the end of this, because like Jeff said, you know, Stephen McKinley Henderson's Sammy's character does die in the confrontation with the Jesse Plemons character. But our trio do make it to the White House, and they are serendipitously there at the moment when this final raid is going to happen on the White House. We see this convoy try to leave the White House. They take it down, and Kristen Dunst is very keen and very smart, and we've seen her be very good at her job, and she knows before everybody else that the president's actually not in this convoy, and she starts heading into the White House. This group of soldiers also see her go, and is like, oh, she knows something, so let's go. And, you know, the last, what, 15, 20 minutes of this movie is the raid on the White House, and there's, like, shootouts in hallways, and there's a moment where Kaylee Spaney's character is... And we've seen this. We've seen this a lot in the movie where they do this Canadian cross, right? They cross the screen. They're trying to get the shot, but not get shot at. And she goes at the wrong moment. And Kristen Dunst recognizes this, right? Her character, Lee, recognizes this. And you mentioned this already. At the beginning of the movie, she's cold, very emotionless, I guess. But by the end of this movie, she's kind of turned and, you know, is trying to look after this Kaylee Spaney character and recognizes that she made the wrong move. She's about to get shot. And instead of Kaylee Spaney getting shot, she jumps in front of the fire, pushes Kaylee Spaney down, and she gets shot in the back. And in this moment, also, Kaylee Spaney is able to pull her camera up and take an actual camera shot of Kristen Dunst's death. And I thought that was well done in the sense that we actually see her death through Kaylee Spaney's lens.
So Kristen Dunst's death is supposed to hit you like a Mack truck.
And it doesn't.
And it just doesn't. I didn't feel anything for it.
It felt kind of like inevitable and fucking corny, right?
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, it's set up as, oh, she doesn't even want Kaylee Spaney to come along on this road trip. And, oh, she's going to get herself in danger. She's not ready. She's too young or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay. So in the end, she's going to sacrifice herself to save her? Oh, okay, cool.
And like I said earlier, it flips the whole thing where Kristen Dunst's like, oh, I'll take a picture of your dead body. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then to have that parallel at the end where Kaylee Spaney's taking that rapid fire sequence of shots of Kristen Dunst falling, like, that's supposed to hit you hard, and it just doesn't, because I don't know what any of these characters think. I don't know what any of these characters believe in.
Right. You don't know if Kristen Dunst was posturing before, or if she's had a change of heart, or if Kaylee Spaney is, you know, like, now growing up to be her hero. You could make up a million narratives about it because the film doesn't choose one because it's not saying anything.
Or is she being, like, calloused, like Kirsten Dunst was, you know, just objectively capturing her death, and there's just nothing there.
Or is it a tribute? Like, who knows? Because the film doesn't take a stance.
Well, the film, for me, makes the wrong choice character-wise. She causes the death, though, right? There's a difference between, like, Kristen Dunst saying that she has no qualms capturing the shot, but Kaylee Spaney is the direct cause of Kristen Dunst's death. I mean, we're at the end of this movie, so I guess it has no time, but like, that was the biggest shock to me and the biggest misstep. He doesn't care about these characters because there's no room for like Kaylee Spaney to care or be affected by this, right? It would be different if Kristen Dunst got shot in that moment and Kaylee Spaney was the one who got the camera shot, right? Like, she captures the moment. It would feel different than in this moment where Kaylee Spaney is actually the one who causes her death.
Interesting.
I definitely did not love that about this ending. Let's keep moving on. I mean, we follow Joel and Jesse and this group of soldiers into the Oval Office, and, you know, they get a hold of the president and they're about to assassinate and shoot the president, and then Joel's like, hold on,
I got to get my quote. And he does, right? Nick Offerman's character just says, please don't shoot me or please don't kill me. And then Joel's like, yeah, we're good. That's good. And then they kill him and they have this photo shoot, this photo op. And that's the end of this movie, right?
Some goofy ass bullshit. So first of all, Nick Offerman's president is smart enough to send a decoy convoy out, but then he ends up hiding under the Oval Office desk. That's his hiding space. Come on, man.
Oh, that's funny.
They just drag him out and they shoot him, right?
I definitely think that this whole ending doesn't quite work for me.
Yeah, didn't work for me either. I thought the ending was inevitable and kind of sucked. Just felt no sense of stakes there. Yeah, it just didn't hit. Think about the movie as a whole. Some of the imagery did sink in. The two tortured guys who Kaylee Spaney sees at the side of the barn or whatever. Or
yeah.
The gas station. That's a pretty good image, too. Those two guys just being hung up there all covered in blood. Maybe there's more here that worked in general than I thought, but I think it overall just doesn't gel together.
I don't know. I think there are a lot of strong images in this movie, but without tying like an ideology behind any of it, you're missing a crucial piece of why those images are powerful. I mean, there's a bunch of minorities being killed in this movie. There's that photo of the black guy being burned alive. The guy gets killed for saying he's from Hong Kong, you know. But everything's just so muddled. Like, just leave that stuff out if you're trying to not say anything about any of that. I mean, I'm going back to that well again, but that's a problem with the movie.
For me, it's like the individual scenes seem to be saying something, like individually. What does it mean that he targeted the Asian guys, right? Like, to two Asian guys are the two people he actually killed. What are those two snipers saying? They're saying something when they're like, oh, I don't know who I'm shooting at. They're just shooting at me. I'm just trying to kill them. I'm trying to live. They're trying to kill me, so I'm going to try to shoot him. Each individual scene is trying to say something, some more interesting than the others. But as a whole, it doesn't seem to be saying something collectively.
I think Garland thinks it's more interesting that there's no ideology or thought behind any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it actually robs it of any sort of coherence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge problem with this movie. Also, I kind of think it's funny that, you know, trying to be centrist, Garland's really giving into a lot of reactionary crank word salad. We talked about this already. Antifa massacre. Like, what does that even fucking mean, right? Like, those things that he says are basically only used usually to make conservatives mad, I feel. Like, Antifa's not a thing. It's not a real leftist militia or whatever that's organizing in the United States. It's not a fucking real thing. It just means anti-fascist. So he's just saying that to get a nod or provoke conservatives, and stuff like that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, he's a British guy, so maybe he just doesn't have a grasp on American politics at all. Or maybe he just doesn't want to, and that's like the point he's trying to make. And
maybe he's just trolling, you know?
Maybe he's just trolling. I don't know.
I guess there is the flip side. Like, if he were to like really lean into the politics, like, is he the right person to be doing that? He is a white male from England, right? I understand him not wanting to step on those kind of toes, but then I think that leans into my like, well, maybe you shouldn't have set this movie in like a civil war that takes place in America, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up or mention?
I want to give Alex Garland the benefit of the doubt, but after both Men and this, which I think makes similar missteps in certain ways, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't have the juice anymore.
I'm still a Men defender a little bit, but yeah. But yeah, this was definitely a miss for me.
I'm surprised. I thought at least one of us would have really liked it. I don't know.
Yeah, we're out of sync with the critic mainstream, I guess.
Yes. All right, well, I think that will conclude this week's episode. Jeff, where can people find more of your work?
You can find me on my blog at strangeharbors.com, and you can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Letterboxd at Strange Harbors. What about you guys?
You can find me joining an unnamed rebel force to overthrow the United States government, but I won't tell you which one because it doesn't matter.
You can find me at The Wrong Daik on Instagram and Letterboxd. But if you like this podcast, the easiest way to support our show is to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be Apple, Spotify, or any of the other popular apps. If you are listening to us on Apple or Spotify, please do us a favor and give us a great rating. It really helps to get our voices out to more people.
Yeah, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions on our episode on Alex Garland's Civil War, feel free to shoot us an email. We like getting listener mail. Sometimes we read out on the pod. With that, we will see you guys next week.
See you next week, everybody.
See you guys then.